Greg, how are you?
Good morning, Tony. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thanks so much for coming on the program this morning. We're going to talk about something that most Americans, as evidenced by polls conducted by Gallup and others, fail to realize how harmful a U.S. default would be. Now, this is something we've talked about on the program, but I really think that most folks, including myself, don't really get what it would mean.
Well, that's okay, because I don't think the people in Congress get what it means either. And you know, this is not a fun discussion to have. But in the event of a U.S. default on the debt, I see three things that could happen as a result. First, you get a rapid repricing of all financial assets, not just treasuries, not just government debt, but stock prices, bond prices would correct very sharply, and that's something that we would all feel. We'd see it in our 401ks, your college savings accounts, your IRAs. You know, they would all could drop very sharply in value very quickly. Secondly, you could get a renewed credit crunch where basically, much as we saw in 2008, lending seizes up. The flow of credit comes to a halt. If that happens, not only do interest rates spike higher, but even worse, if lenders won't lend and borrowers can't borrow, what you're going to see is companies rapidly slashing payrolls to conserve cash. Again, 2008 is much the same precedent that we saw back then. And then the third thing is that you would usher in an era of permanently higher interest rates. And, Tony, that would happen even if this default were very brief, even if you had, you know, maybe a period of just a few hours or a couple of days where the U.S. was technically in default. It would permanently raise the rate that investors would command when borrowing from the U.S. Treasury, because now the prospect of default would no longer be unthinkable.
Why are we continuing to kick this can down the road? Is it because we're led by legislators who've been doing this for years?
Well, you know, there's a few things. I mean, you know, legislators tend to think one election cycle to the next and don't necessarily have a long-term view. And so it's easier to kind of kick the can down the road beyond the next election and make it somebody else's problem. And, you know, that's nothing new. I think that's probably been the case over the course of the past few hundred years. But nonetheless, the problem has grown to the point where now not only do you face this urgent need to raise the debt ceiling to prevent a default, but at the same time, you've got to make some significant budget cuts so that you can continue to issue debt and issue it at favorable interest rates in the years to come. At some point, the investors that lend money to the U.S. may decide we're not worth the risk, or certainly not worth the risk at low interest rates. If they charge Uncle Sam higher interest rates, it means you, me, and all the listeners are going to pay higher interest rates every time we buy a car, take out a mortgage, or use a credit card.
How far are we away from a situation like Greece is seeing right now? How close are we to defaulting?
Defaulting is, we're a couple of weeks away. I mean, you know, that sense of urgency does seem to be building. I mean, if we don't raise the debt ceiling, we're a couple of weeks away from default. If they raise the debt ceiling, you know, then it's more a question of, okay, at what point does sentiment turn and foreign investors are no longer willing to invest in the U.S. at these current rates? Then look, you know, that's like trying to predict when the first snowstorm comes. Eventually it'll happen. We just don't know exactly when. And I think that's why there is an urgency beyond raising the debt ceiling now to make some significant cuts to the budget over the course of the next several years so that those investors become more willing to lend money and they're less willing to take their money and go play in somebody else's sandbox.
Greg McBride is a senior financial analyst for Bankrate.com. Greg, when we talk about cutting into this deficit, can we lower it significantly, or are we going to have to find more revenue?
I think it's probably a combination of both. I'm not a political handicapper, so what they're ultimately going to decide, not something I can forecast. But the gap is sufficiently large that, you know, the reality of it is it's probably going to come from both sides. You can't raising taxes alone isn't going to close the gap, and there's not enough, I think, political will to cut spending enough to close the gap either. So the reality seems to be that it's going to take some of each.
Why isn't there enough political will? We do know that from the Speaker of the House and the Republican Party, as far as the United States Congress is concerned, the House of Representatives are willing to do this. Why not the Senate?
Well, you know, again, I'm not a political, handicapper or political guru.
Mm-hmm.
You've probably had similar conversations with, people that, everybody says, yeah, we've really got to cut the deficit. But then when you raise cutting something that they like, it's like, oh, no, don't do that. And, I think that same sort of mentality carries over to Congress, that, they'll give a lot of lip service to the fact that, yes, we got to rein in the deficit, but when it comes to cutting one of their pet projects, then all of a sudden they're not such a big fan.
Greg, as a pro at this, are you worried?
Well, I will tell you this. My immediate concern is that if we don't raise the debt ceiling, I think we could have, a pretty dire situation on our hands within a few weeks. And I don't necessarily, you look at the precedent of 2008, I don't have a whole lot of confidence that Congress gets that. If you recall back in 2008, they originally voted down the financial rescue package. It was $700 billion. And what happened right after that? The stock market promptly erased twice that amount, $1.4 trillion in value. And only then did they realize, oh, you know what, maybe that was important. Maybe we should have passed that after all. And I think if we go down that same path this time around, the horse is out of the barn, and we're going to usher in this permanent era of higher interest rates. So that's my immediate concern. Long term, yes, I am concerned. Ultimately, we are going to have to, rein in the red ink, and we can't continue to rely on foreign investors to continue to pay for our deficits.
And Greg McBride, the senior financial analyst at Bankrate.com. Thanks so much, Greg.
Always a pleasure, Tony. Thanks.